sights and sounds of the weight room here at Everbank Field. The players are back. The off-season program is underway. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live. JP Shatterick with you. We're at the East U.S. Assured Club here at Everbank Field ahead of Thursday's State of the Franchise Address, an annual event this offseason. We'll preview that coming up. Here's what's coming up today on Jaguars.com Live, a preview of the State of the Franchise, and we'll talk about those players coming back for the offseason program. Jadon Mickens joins us on set as well. And we'll wrap up the Posluszny retirement talk and get into some top tweets with Ashlyn Sullivan, Brian Sexton, John Osier with us. Jadon Mickens is with us today, too. What's up? How you doing, man?
Man, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I'm doing great.
Thanks for coming all the way over to the East Club today and hanging out a little bit for us. So you've been out of town a lot of this offseason. You've come back now for the offseason program. Where you been? What have you been doing?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised. And, you know, really getting a lot of work done with on-the-field stuff, doing a lot of sand work, and also getting businesses started. And one is my cryotherapy recovery center.
Mm. So why do you want to start a cryotherapy center?
Because they make money.
Apparently so.
Ask Malik Jackson. He's in on one, too.
Yeah. They definitely make money, and you know, but it's really bigger than that because I didn't know how to take care of my body coming in the NFL. And, you know, growing up in Los Angeles, we don't have the tools to, you know, get those type of perks. So I wanted to start my own to let the kids really know this is how you take care of your body unless you want to be a professional. So I wanted to put it in a minority community, which is in Windsor Hills, right on Slauson and Overhill, across from Snowballs and Simply Wholesome. And I wanted to really allow the kids, and not only the kids, but everyone around there that don't have a cryotherapy recovery center, to implement that into their game and implement that into their life for a healthier lifestyle.
You know, it's too bad Ashlyn's not sitting out here right now, because Ashlyn, cryotherapy is, right? You and your jokes. But the cryotherapy is the latest and greatest sense of how you get a body back.
Big
right?
time.
Right?
Big
and,
time.
John, I think it's something you should try, because obviously your familiarity with cryotherapy. John,
I've
cryotherapy.
Lost my body
John,
I'm
John,
still looking for mine.
Cryotherapy is a really cold tank that you get into. And you stand there in your skivvies for what, 2 minutes?
About 3 minutes, and negative 180 degrees.
Would that cause me not to limp every time I run a mile?
You got to go through the treatments. You got to make sure. And then also you got to get in the hyperbaric chamber.
John, a hyperbaric chamber is a place where you go and you breathe hyper-concentrated oxygen, and it works on the it speeds up the healing process at a cellular level.
You'll find this out someday. There comes a point in your life, about 40 for me,
yes,
where none of the stuff you're talking about has benefits. It's all downhill.
Well.
That's where I'm
along
at.
With
you
that,
stay with it.
We do have AstroTurf in there, so you can get an actual workout with some free weights, some AstroTurf. I got some cleats for you, and we can do something. Mm.
Tell me about the sand work. I assume that's not just going running on the beach.
No, no.
There's got to be a lot more to that.
Definitely not. So in Los Angeles and Huntington Beach, we got a place called the Sand Dune. So it's a big hill with deep sand that, you know, you run up, you run down, you do different workouts. And also at Santa Monica Beach, where I do actually football-specific things. And not only that, strengthening things for the little muscles that you wouldn't work on a regular platform or on some grass or turf.
How would I fare on that sand dune?
I think you'll feel pretty well, but I guarantee you need cryotherapy after.
there is absolutely right. No doubt. Hey, what was your – we've talked about you and what you accomplished last year. What was your favorite moment of your breakout here in Jacksonville in 2017?
My favorite moment is basically everyone and also the coaches believing in me, you know, coming together and being a part of the team. Because when I came in, I was on a practice squad, which the practice squad is very important to the team. But, you know, you're not really involved with the team when you're out there on the field and you're, you know, giving handshakes and really becoming really close with that person, because we're out here, you know, in war together. So just bonding with the team and taking this team to the next level on what it hasn't been for the past 10 years, and we still haven't conquered what we need to conquer, and that's just the best part about it.
You had some really high You had some really high profile moments, touchdowns, punt returns. The play I'll remember was the first down against the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
late in the game. I think it was your first NFL catch.
Yes.
What did you know about that play before the play, or were you just running to try to get open?
So
it was your first game, right?
First time out there on offense, and you know, I seen Hearns limp off, and all I heard was Coach McCardell is just screaming, "Go 85, go!" And the first thing we have to look at is the situation. And I know that going in. So I'm looking at the clock. I see 6 seconds left. So I have to hurry up and get set. And then now I have the play. And my chin strap is barely buckled. So I'm trying to get that on. So I hear Marquise is just yelling out what I have to do. Like, regardless of if they know it or not, you have to be in the right position. I seen the blitzers go, and I knew I was hot. So I had to get the ball, get out of bounds because we're down in a 2 minute, and just get the first down.
You know what my favorite moment was, and you'll remember this because it involves you, and that was, you know, here he is coming off the Cincinnati game, and I think you had him on Jaguars Jam that very next Wednesday.
I think so, yeah.
And all of us were standing around, and we didn't know you. You'd come off the practice squad. None of us had talked to you yet. And you opened your mouth and started talking. We're like, wow. He is well-spoken and very purposeful. You know, you were talking about the foundation that you wanted to start and the effort that you had back in Los Angeles and your mom and all of the things. It was like, oh, wow, this guy gets it. You know, that the personality that you brought the very first day, and it carried with you through the rest of the season. You made a lot of friends here in just 1 year.
Man, I appreciate that. And Jacksonville is becoming my home, you know. I have a couple different homes that I've been to over the course of my career and my lifespan, but Jacksonville is somewhere that, you know, I appreciate and I love, and everyone here is so nice, and everyone here, you know, loves their Jaguars, and I love the Jaguars too, so we get along very well.
Jadon Mickens here with us. Final thoughts here. You know, the wide receiver room has changed a bit since last season. Hearns is out of here. Allen Robinson's in Chicago now. I don't want to call you one of the veteran guys because you're still relatively young and relatively new here, but take us through that change in the wide receiver room. Moncrief is here now. You got guys who, you know, you and Keelan Cole kind of stepped up last year and made roles for yourselves here. And then working with a guy like Blake Bortles, I know you guys get together in the off season some away from the campus here to get some things done. How important is that work with Blake and all you guys together in the wide receiver room?
The work is important with Blake. We actually threw a couple hours ago and from Moncrief to, you know, Shane Wynn to Didi to everyone, our room is based on being unselfish, you know, because you might have a 100-yard game this game and I might not even get a target. You might not even get in the game and just have to do your thing on special teams, just like, let's say, me in the Bengals game versus me in the Texans game. You don't know when your role is going to be played, so we have guys that's all around going to be ready to step up, even if you have to be a blocker or a receiver. Anything you have to be, we have guys to ready to step up and take that position. And, you know, me, myself personally, I know I have to step up big this year because I would like a bigger role, and that's earned. That's not given.
It's a wide receiver room. Isn't it a little bit selfish?
you
guys are the divas, right?
Yeah, you can get a little bit selfish. I wouldn't call us divas in certain things because I know I got to get my hair cut. I got to get my mani and pedi, but, you know, but that just comes with the perks. But you have to be a diva as soon as that DB stands in your face and getting ready. But I wouldn't call it a diva. I just call it just being aware and being ready.
Jadon, good to see you. Good luck to you here in the offseason program. I know we got a few weeks before you guys truly get on the field here, but we appreciate you coming all the way over to the East Club today and sitting here with us.
All the way to the East Coast.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I thank you guys. Appreciate you guys.
Mickens,
thank you so much.
Wide receiver, punt returner for the Jaguars, joining us. Hey, coming up tomorrow, the state of the franchise. We'll have our coverage beginning at 10:45 tomorrow here on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Facebook page. That's the only place you can watch the state of the franchise. Not open to the public. It won't be streamed anywhere else. Our coverage begins, as we said, 10:45. We'll show the whole thing live right here on Jaguars.com. And the special guests will join us afterwards, including Jaguars owner Shad Khan. All right, guys, Jadon Mickens, as you just said,
always
there,
impressive.
Mr. Yeah, personality here, yeah, no doubt.
Impressive young man. And by now, people have heard his story about how he was saving money and slept in his car. And that kind of focus and persistence, perseverance, that resonates with the average person who is out there doing the same thing, fighting, struggling, working to achieve their goals. He's a young player, and he's not focused on the wrong things. He's not focused on houses and cars and all the trappings of being a pro player. He's talking about how he helps other people using his talents in his career. That flips the switch for me.
What's impressive is a lot of guys, you see players who take the same approach, but oftentimes it's the top draft pick who's got a lot of guys in his face from day one. because he's got a lot of money. Well, he came in and had to earn his way here. And you get a lot of guys who take this approach once they get a little older. For him to have this approach and to be as mature as he is about it this young, very impressive and a little unusual.
Let's recap the last couple of days around here. Players were back in on Monday, and then Tuesday we heard from a couple of key Jaguars, Jags head coach Doug Marone, of course, Calais Campbell, who we'll hear from in just a moment, and also Blake Bortles. Big year for him. Going into year number 5, signed a big contract, 3-year extension. He'll be here for a few more seasons for the Jacksonville Jaguars at least, and he knows it's a new time around Jacksonville.
Bar's been raised. You know, the expectations are different. Coming in years past, you know, even coming into last year after the previous year, when we won 3 games or whatever we won, you know, with Coughlin and Coach Marone coming in, you know, the expectations had changed, but it was kind of like, you know, we still just won 3 games last year. Like, how good can we possibly be? And to be able to go through the season that we went through last year, the camp that we went through, and you know, kind of see everything that happened, I think guys are coming back this year with a totally different attitude and kind of.
Blake Bortles had some big plays and key moments late in the season and certainly in the postseason with his legs in the Bills game, and then got some things done in that Steelers game as well. You know, the bar has been raised was kind of the key quote, I think, from yesterday, and that's what Blake said.
You look like you're ready.
Well, no, I was going to ask you if I could go, if I could tell you my impressions of the next couple of days.
Oh,
so
sure.
Why don't you answer his question, then I'll give an impression.
Well, I mean, the story I wrote on Blake for the website yesterday was just that. It's he knows the expectations are raised. He knows it's about the team. He knows it's about him. You know, the team believed in him enough to give him a 2-year contract or 3-year contract, and they believe that he's the guy going forward. And there was a different, you know, sort of a confidence in the walk. And I don't want to say he was cocky about it, but he knows. I think the quote that he said was the best. He knows he's here for at least a couple of years and has a chance to go earn it and has a chance to be that guy. And he said that's really what he wanted out of the contract. You know, he's not silly. He didn't mind the money. But I think there's a solid footing for him now going forward, and I'm anxious to see what he does with that. Without Chad Henne in the room, the whole thing, he's always been the guy, but he seems a little bit more comfortable in that skin, I guess.
So my impressions fit in exactly with what you're talking about. There is, from Posluszny on Monday to Blake and Calais and Doug yesterday, there's almost a humility on the part of these guys. They understand that the bar has been raised, right? And let's be honest. We know some teams that when they won the Super Bowl or got on their high horse, they weren't humble. Cowboys, right? I mean, teams that wore it like the badge of honor. We were there. You just don't get the sense in this team. I was amazed at how Calais and Blake both yesterday said, we get it, we understand it, we're going back to work. They were not sitting on their high horse, so to speak. They were ready to go back to work. And Blake is still a relatively young player. We all kind of expect it from an older player like Calais Campbell. I kind of marveled at the culture that Doug has built as quickly as he's built it, because I thought Paul Posluszny was incredibly humble, standing in front of a room. Mm-hmm. And Doug, you know, we've seen him be humble, not take all the credit, not, you know, just try to parse it out. I thought for a team that went as far as they did last year, the humility that the players are showing in trying to replicate their efforts was worth noting.
Well, they haven't gotten there yet, first of all. But to your point, Brian, it is encouraging, I think, for Jaguars fans to hear these guys that they know they haven't gotten there yet. Sometimes you haven't gotten there yet, but you think you have. These guys certainly are acting and talking as if they know there's a lot to be done, because there is a lot to be done.
Defensively, good year last year, of course. A lot of players going to the Pro Bowl. Some all pros on this team, including Calais Campbell, who was the runner-up for AP Defensive Player of the Year. And even he knows they must rebuild the foundation year after year.
You have to start back at ground zero and then build. You know, hopefully we can get further along by the time the season starts than we were last year. But you definitely have to start back at zero, regroup, and then kind of just take it one day at a time. But hopefully, you know, with our leadership and a lot of the guys returning, you know, knowing the system, being familiar with everything, you know, hopefully it goes a little faster and we'll be further along.
For a defense that was so good last year in so many situations and most of the season, really a lot of times carried this team across the finish line, You know, starting from ground zero is an interesting concept, and it was interesting to hear Calais talk through that yesterday.
Well, as I was listening to him yesterday, I thought to myself, this is a good guy to have as your leader. And we all get what a great leader he was. But his experience with the Cardinals speaks to what this team needs to do, in the sense that, I mean, they made the Super Bowl his rookie year, and they were good a lot after that. But they never were that consistent team at the top. They didn't go back to the Super Bowl. They made it close, and they were good. So I think he does have a message to tell guys of, hey, look, just because you're good one year. I was on a really good team in 2008. Probably at that moment thought he'd get back. Probably, you know, but he can tell these guys, look, it's not a given that you get back, even if you're a good team, that you get back to the point where you were the year before. And he's very good, we saw it all last year, at getting his message and his point across. And I think that will resonate with guys when he says that.
I think the starting over narrative is incomplete unless we mention continuity, right? They are indeed starting over with a new season.
True.
But Blake mentioned it yesterday. I mean, you have the same coaching staff. He now has Nathaniel Hackett for essentially the third year, because he had him in 2016, and he's got some of the same guys back and some of the same receivers in the room, and same thing on the defensive side. In fact, Doug mentioned in his news conference yesterday how remarkable it was that the entire coaching staff came back for a team that was in the AFC Championship game. So, yes, starting over, but the continuity effect of these coaches and these players who know one another and know the system and how it works, that's a big factor.
Take advantage, because another year like last year and those coaches will start getting interviews and jobs elsewhere. That's just how it works. Coming up at Daly's Place, busy schedule, Thomas Rhett, Skillet, and For King and Country, and then Post Malone and 21 Savage. Daly'sPlace.com is the place to go for tickets. Paul Posluszny, retirement ceremony was earlier this week. And, of course, for Paul Posluszny, it's something he really didn't want to get done.
Let me get. I don't want to do this. I don't want to retire right now. I want to keep playing. But what was more important for me was I didn't want to go back out on the field and not be a step too slow or miss a play.
It's quite a take. I don't want to do this. I don't want to retire, but he felt like it was the time. Ashland Sullivan with us now. You had a chance to catch up with Paz before the ceremony out on the field with the family, right?
I did. It was pretty cool. All his kids running around having a good time. His wife there watching on. We spoke for about 10 minutes before his press conference. It was sad, but you could tell that he was ready, even though that bike says he wasn't. During my press conference, he was very elaborate on his plans of what he was going to do with his future, and you could tell that he definitely put a lot of thought into this.
Emotional day, and the full interview available on Jaguars.com, but you have a special clip from
Yes, my special clip. So we talked a little bit about his favorite moment in Jacksonville, and he brought up Miles Jack and Tone Smith, who we all know they're very close with. Here's what he had to say.
So standing here on this field, I'm sure you have countless unforgettable memories, but do you have one that you think you'll hold on to forever?
Honestly, there are so many. You think of so many great times that you had, not only playing the game, but just being here with your teammates. I mean, the one that jumps to mind right away is we beat Houston this year. We know that we're going to the playoffs, and it's me, Telvin Smith, and Miles, and we're just talking on the sideline about the journey that we've been through, knowing that we're going to get a chance to go to the postseason. And because it was with those guys, spending that time with those guys in that environment, in that situation, I know that I'll remember that forever.
So, guys, that was a huge storyline this season about the selflessness it took for Miles Jack to go about with Posluszny knowing that at some point in his career, sooner than later, he was going to take his spot. But he said the whole interview that Miles Jack never stepped on his toes, and he handled it the perfect way.
Yeah, and Paz never wavered from that. I remember asking him at the start of training camp that year after they had drafted Miles, hey, this guy is, you know, is a second-round linebacker. He's mm-hmm. probably going to be the linebacker of the future. How do you feel? He's like, well, I understand that. I still want to be the guy, but I have to help these guys because he's going to help us on the field one day. And from day one, that never wavered with Paul Posluszny.
Well, and it wasn't fake, and it was who he was. You wouldn't It couldn't have been easy, just like retiring wasn't easy. But the thing that's impressive about Paz is he always held himself to this standard, and it never felt like he was trying to hold himself to the standard. It was just the standard was there, and he sort of did it naturally. So Yes, it's notable what he did for Miles and what he did for Telvin, although Telvin wasn't taking his job. But if you've known him for 7 years, as we have, Brian, it's not surprising that he would take that approach.
You know, I watched as he was standing there. Two thoughts came to mind. One, the guy's going to be a coach, right? I mean, the way he stood, the way he spoke, the way he acted, it's who he is. Football and Paul Posluszny dovetail together. And the second is, what an amazing example for two incredibly talented young linebackers in Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. Both of them have their own qualities, but to take their strengths and have Paul Posluszny there as the sculptor the last 2 years to help guide them to be a pro. They know how to play ball. Do you know how to be a pro? He is the ultimate example of what being a pro is all about. And I know there's people that go, what does that really mean? Does it mean taking the check? Well, yeah, it does. But it means giving back more than you take. And Paul Posluszny did that every day he came in this building. He over-delivered on what his value was.
And what's notable is it wasn't vocal leadership. And I'm sure it wasn't even that vocal when they were sitting in meeting rooms. But day after day, when you're Miles Jack, when you're Telvin Smith, and you realize, wait, this guy's at the front of every line and every drill. This guy's at the front of every line every time we lift. This guy's here every day. This guy's paying attention. He's asking the right question. All the things you see, as I said, leadership within a small group is usually about doing rather than saying. And
how about for us, right? So after every bad game, and there were some bad games in his career here.
There were.
You could always go to Posluszny. If he was injured, you could go to Posluszny. If he dropped an interception that might have given them a chance to win, you could go to Posluszny. It didn't matter how somber the locker room or how elated the locker room, Paul Posluszny was willing to stand and talk about the game. That, to us, makes him a Hall of Famer.
There's a really good chance he'll be the lead quote in my stories next year.
Oh.
Well, let's call him. Hey, Pause, what'd you think?
I like it. Just call him on the phone.
Tough loss, what'd you think?
Yeah, exactly. So look for the full interview on Jaguars.com and all the coverage from earlier this week of the Paul Posluszny retirement. We don't have the theme song this week, but it is time for Top Tweets. Ashley, unless you want to sing it live for
us. We can hum it.
John,
Top Tweets.
Would you like to hum it? I know how much you enjoy
Top
that
tweets.
Song.
Top Tweets.
Top tweets.
Top tweets.
There
top
it is.
Top tweets.
Get us going, Ashlyn. Ngakoue has given out some hugs.
Yes. On Instagram this week, Yannick Ngakoue on his Instagram, sacking Jimmy Garoppolo, free hugs, 2K18. So being silly here, but I wanted to talk about what Calais Campbell said about him yesterday, where he tells him all the time, you can be the best pass rusher in the league.
He's well on his way to being close to that elite-level pass rusher. It's going to be hard to get to a Von Miller type of level. Those kind of guys are very rare. But, hey, he's well on his way. He's got the work ethic and the mentality to go try to be that.
I will tease this. I can't give it away. But tomorrow, in the state of the franchise, people will get a firsthand look at just how the Jaguars feel about Yannick Ngakoue. You'll see it.
Wow, that's quite the tease.
I can't wait.
Wow.
I'll tune in now.
Consider myself teased.
Yeah, I feel teased already. Paul Posluszny, we just mentioned him. The players had a lot to say,
though. Oh, yeah, big time. The tweet went out about his retirement in this big video over his career. A few players, notable players, reflecting on it. Calais Campbell, wish we got to play together for longer. Posluszny, or as I like to call him, Captain America, thanks for being true to the game. Good luck in your next chapter. Along with Leonard Fournette and Jalen Ramsey, both well wishes.
Yeah, we saw the guys here in person yesterday, and that just goes all the way up and down the roster. That's expected.
I thought it was notable, too. Jonathan Cyprian is now with the Titans.
Yeah.
Also tweeted, hey, honor to play with the guy. I don't think anybody who played with him felt differently.
Finally, schedule release announced. Yes. It's coming Thursday night tomorrow.
Tomorrow, D-Rock, our friend from ESPN NFL, just announced that it will release the 2018 schedule at 8 p.m. Biggest question for Jags fans, how many primetime games will they get? New England, Pittsburgh, and Dallas are the best candidates.
You know what my question was when I saw that tweet last night? What day, D-Rock? What day?
Yeah.
Right? It's Tuesday night. Is it Wednesday? Is it coming tonight? Or should I be looking for it? Should it be coming Wednesday? He didn't even say in there that
attention
it's Thursday.
Attention to detail,
D-Rock. Does the best he can. He's very
yeah. Give the guy a break,
man.
Will you?
I'm just telling you. Honestly, I saw that and I went, it's an incomplete fact. I don't know when it is.
Fair enough.
From
but best candidates.
Wow,
what do you think?
Fired.
Oh, it's Patriots for sure, right? Patriots, Steelers, you know, those are the top two. Dallas.
Cowboys, you could see the Chiefs maybe on a Monday night game when the Jags go to Kansas City because the Chiefs are a playoff team. With the high-profile coach, Jaguars would make sense there.
And my guess is you won't see all three of those games be prime time because I'm sure
CBS
won
to protect them.
But, yeah, I expect him to have three primetime games, probably one Thursday. And two on Monday. and maybe one Sunday. I'm not sure. Hopefully.
Well, I would think that Patriots game would be a prime candidate for a Sunday night one.
Oh, yeah.
You'd think. From a very small man in Mike DiRocco, as John said, to a very large running back in Leonard Fournette, giving back to his high school.
Yes, his old high school in New Orleans, St. Augustine High School. Pictures of him warming up with the kids, doing drills with them. He showed up unannounced, borrowed some cleats after his own workout, and put in more work with his Purple Knight family. The young man were happy to welcome Leonard Fournette for a visit today. So how cool that he goes all the way back to New Orleans. We know how tied in he is with that community to go work out with his old high school.
That's not really a shocker
at all.
That's
surprising.
Yeah.
Not at all. That's who he is.
It's pretty cool to see Leonard Fournette back with the high school kids. There you have it for top tweets.
Top tweets.
Top tweets.
Yes. Tomorrow, 10:45, our coverage begins for the state of the franchise right here in the East U.S. Assured Club at Everbank Field. A lot's coming tomorrow, so strap in and hang on. Appreciate you guys. Thanks to Jadon Mickens for joining us here today as well for our entire crew. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live.